Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and you may be listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we have Kalia LaRoche. She is the author of Spiritual Recovery from Narcissistic Abuse. And we are going to be talking about narcissistic personality disorder today. It's a little bit of a different topic than what we normally discuss on the show, but I'm really glad that we're having this topic today, because once I announced it on Twitter and Facebook, I've been getting a lot of emails and messages from people who have survived narcissistic abuse. And so I think it's a really important topic that we discuss today. So Kalia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background. You are, I want to make it clear that you're not a registered psychiatrist. So we're not here to diagnose anyone with narcissistic personality disorder, but we can certainly talk about some of the traits that someone who may have narcissistic personality might display. You had a relationship with two different people with narcissistic personality, correct?
I had a personal relationship with two different people, yes. And since I've written the book, I've just run across so many relationships, as far as, you know, acquaintances, friendships, business associates. It's just been really in my face. But the book was based on my two personal relationships.
Wonderful. Well, so we're talking, how about I want to talk first about the signs of narcissistic personality disorder. So can you tell us a little bit about how that looked for you in your experience?
Well, how it looked for me is upon meeting the people that, you know, neither one of them, I'm going to say this up front, there wasn't an official diagnosis. And it's not always easy to get an official diagnosis, because that means going in front of a psychiatrist and having different examinations. But there is a set of characteristics that are very narcissistic. And the first thing that most people notice is just we're dealing usually with a charismatic personality, someone that is very attractive, not always physically, but just energetically. There's an attraction. There often seems to be like a soulmate kind of a match, or a match that feels like, wow, this is the one I've been waiting for. And that was my experience the first time, was, wow, this is the one I've been waiting for. And the relationship seemed somewhat normal at the beginning, usually does. But then there's just some very subtle things that start to happen, and very subtle behaviors. It struck me as a gut feeling that something just wasn't right, that something just wasn't quite right. And in my case, both of mine were on the shy, introverted side. A lot of people see narcissistic personality disorder as being very, very egocentric and very, out there, somebody that's just got a very animated personality and that is the life of the party, and that's not always true. In my case, they were the people that were on the sidelines of the party, on the outside looking in. And so, it was much harder to detect. the personalities that I was dealing with were just very subtle, and it was more what happened for me was that I started losing energy, I started losing power, I started losing confidence, I started losing my sense of self-worth. And it was hard to say exactly why.
Now, isn't that something that can happen in a relationship with someone who isn't a narcissist? I mean, certainly if we give away our power, that can happen in any relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, a working relationship. Isn't that possible?
It is. But most of the narcissistic relationships, what normally happens is that there is a subtle undermining that goes on constantly. And I emphasize subtle. It's not like a normal abusive relationship where someone is verbally abusive and always, obviously putting their mate down. The subtle undermining is, you might talk about how you've gotten this big opportunity, and instead of being excited or, congratulate you about the opportunity, there might be a real subtle comment about, are you sure you could do this? Or in my case, in one of my relationships, he was always saying, I'm really concerned about you. How could you go out there all by yourself? And, just a lot of things that would make me question, can I? Yeah, maybe I can't do that. And so it was a complete undermining that happened so often that I didn't even detect that it was going on until I had already lost power. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I have to confess that I've definitely been in a relationship before with someone who may not be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, but I would definitely say a fairly textbook case of it. And my experience was different. It was a lot more, I guess I was involved with the type of person who was very out there, look at me, I'm so important. And he treated me in the beginning like a princess.
Mm-hmm.
But what I noticed, and I was young and stupid, I guess.
naive.
But young and naive, because he treated other people, I would see how he treated his mother, I would see how he talked about other people, but he treated me like a princess. And that at the time, I was 18 years old, I didn't really know any better, and I didn't have an authority figure kind of saying, this guy's weird. I thought, look how well he's treating me. I must be really special, as opposed to look what a jerk he is for treating all these other people bad, and knowing that, if he can treat other people that way, down the road he's going to start to treat me that way. So that was my experience. It sounds like your experiences were a lot more subtle, like you said.
Yeah, they were. They were a lot more subtle. However, I have been working with so many, mostly women. I do get men too, but mostly women. And a lot of them have that experience of the extroverted personality that's way out there. And also, there can be two different types of the extroverted. One can be, treats the wait staff bad and makes a lot of demands and, really, really is horrible to other people. And the other one is just Mr. Nice Guy, just Mr. Wonderful. Everybody loves him. So, there's no one. It's hard for me. I can give you, the rundown on what psychiatrists say that narcissistic personality is, but I don't think that rundown necessarily will allow people to catch it. And, when you mentioned that you were young and naive, I just want to say that in my experience that I have worked with medical doctors, psychiatrists, attorneys, high-powered businesswomen that couldn't believe that they fell for a guy like this. And they really question their intelligence. And it really has nothing to do with intelligence. So So the thing that I really want to stress about getting involved with somebody that has narcissistic personality disorder or is very nice narcissistic is it is not easy to detect. It's absolutely not that easy to detect.
But what if you have been, because for me now, I, after that situation, I mean, it was, and we'll talk a little bit about how debilitating that can be when you lose that sense of yourself. And essentially, from what I've read on your website and as well as from my own personal experience, is that this narcissist is kind of like an energy vampire. They need the attention. They need that adoration. Mm-hmm. And then they just suck the life out of you. And then when you're completely depleted and have nothing left to give and you're at your lowest, that's when they ditch you.
Absolutely. Because you have nothing left to give. You're not valuable anymore.
Exactly. And a lot of times, I mean, what I've noticed is they'll put you up on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're not able to meet that, because no one is able to meet up to, you know, unrealistic expectations, that's when the disappointment sets in. That's when the subtle, you know, put downs start, or maybe not so subtle. And so I want to talk about how, you know, how this affects a person and how we can get beyond it. But when you've had if you've had one relationship with a narcissist, I mean, aren't you a little more sensitive to some of the warning signs, even if they're not blatant? Maybe it's just your spidey senses tingling. Don't you find that?
Well, personally, I got involved with one right after another. You would think I would have learned, but I was dealing with a complete opposite. And so when you have one personality, the one that I originally got involved with was very emotionally closed. And I'm not, you couldn't get to his emotions no matter what. Originally, I just said, oh, he's emotionally unavailable. I was used to that. The second one was very emotional, very emotionally, it seemed emotionally available. He was always talking about his emotions, his feelings, his past, his history, things that the other one wouldn't even begin to talk about. So it was like a breath of fresh air. But, you know, as the relationship progressed, I found myself in the same situation. And the first thing that happened was because I had studied so much about narcissism, I started questioning my own projection. That maybe I'm projecting the old one onto this one. Maybe I just haven't healed enough and, you know, I'm not giving him a fair chance. And so I allowed the relationship to continue and continued to really evaluate myself, which wasn't a bad thing because when I finally did realize what was going on and got out, I had a lot stronger sense of self than I did the first time.
Well, that's a good thing. Okay, well,
right, absolutely. So I and the women that I work with, it's very typical that they'll get involved with more than one. You really have to understand it and trust the intuitive gut signs that you get. Because, you know, I can even tell you that on the second one I was so fragile from the first still that I wasn't trusting. I wasn't trusting my gut. Your gut will tell you. And almost every client that I have worked with, if I were to ask her, when did you first start knowing that something wasn't right? Usually it's within 3 months. And the next question is, why didn't you listen?
But then, see, by the time you're in 3 months, and especially with someone who you feel like there may be some kind of soulmate connection, you feel already in 3 months that you're falling in love with them, it's kind of like you're already immersed in this relationship.
You're already hooked.
Yeah.
Right, right. So it makes it very difficult to get out at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for a break now. So we will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. We are speaking with Kalia LaRoche. She is the author of Spiritual Recovery from Narcissistic Abuse. You can check out her website. It's narcissismfree.com. And there's also a link to her book on my website, spiritualshow.com. It's in the upcoming as well as the past episodes. So you can check that out, spiritualshow.com. We will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Morning.
Good day to you, sir. Hey, wait a minute, what the hell? Getting real tired of you ducking me, man. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. You're moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
Oh, my God!
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry!
Rude boy, don't cry!
Scene of Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Hey, I'm Wayne Dyer. Hey, I'm Wayne Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Today's topic is a little bit different. We are talking about narcissistic personality and narcissistic personality disorder, rather, and how you can heal spiritually from that if you've had a relationship with someone. So we are talking about that with Kalia LaRoche, and her website is narcissismfree.com. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Welcome back to the show, Kalia.
Thank you.
Hi. So we've talked a little bit about some of the things that happen in a narcissistic personality relationship. It sounds like it's really subtle, and when I was looking into the situation with the person that I was with years ago, there seemed to be some overlap. I mean, is narcissistic personality disorder is not the same as a sociopath, is it? But
well, I identify, and when I've done my research, and this was a long time ago, I started researching personality disorders after Ted Bundy was out there, you know, when he was out in the media, because he lived near me. And I was young and afraid. And I wanted to have some kind of ammunition or some kind of understanding. So I started researching the difference between, or researching sociopaths first before I ever got into narcissism. And sociopaths are identified by their lack of guilt or remorse, whereas narcissists are identified by lack of compassion and empathy. And so a narcissist may be able to feel some guilt for what they do. Narcissists aren't by themselves. I mean, there's a lot of duo diagnosis, a lot of, from what I understand, a sociopath is almost always a narcissist, but a narcissist is not always a sociopath. So those narcissistic qualities always surface with a sociopath. Sociopaths are much more dangerous. A narcissist isn't as likely to be, you know, murdering their spouse. They're more going to torment their spouse. That's their weapon. Where a sociopath can be a lot more dangerous. All your serial killers are sociopaths.
So let's talk about now, Kalia, how you started the recovery process. Now, the first step, I guess, was to, I mean, you probably realized there was a problem long before you ever got out, but at some point you must have realized the problem was bad enough that you needed to leave.
Yes, and you know, let me start by saying, you know, in bringing this into a spiritual sense, this recovery is that I've really learned that the narcissism for me was a catalyst for my own spiritual growth. And when I started on my path of recovery, and I turned to psychology, to the field of psychology, to get better, and I wasn't getting any better. I didn't find that I was being helped. But when I really turned inward and connected with what was lost, what had been lost, my soul, those soul pieces, the psychic connections between me and my mates, and all the things that I was dealing with was really a spiritual issue, not a psychology or a psychological issue, even though there can be some psychological elements. I found that that it was really the spiritual that helped me. And I really do believe, as much as NPD or narcissistic personality disorder is a psychological disorder, that my experience is it's more of a spiritual disorder. That we can get technical and we can talk about all the different traits, characteristics, things like that. But truly, the narcissist is separated from his heart. He's very intellectual. He operates in the mind and is disconnected from his heart. And if I can say what was missing, it was the heart. When I would say there's something not quite right, oh, the heart. Because we live in such an intellectual society and a very highly narcissistic society. This is not uncommon. It's very, very, very common because people are so disconnected from the heart. And what happens is, you know, we've got this lack of balance in our society between the masculine and the feminine. And what I've found is that narcissism overrides the feminine. It squelches the feminine. That heart, that intuition, that, you know, gentleness, the emotion.
That's
the
very
things that are very feminine. And so in order to heal, the first thing that we have to do is reconnect with our soul, reconnect with our spirit, and reconnect with the feminine.
That's very interesting that you point that out, that the feminine feeling sense is lost there in the narcissist. It really resonates with me because when I was in this relationship, one of the biggest triggers for him that would anger him is that I'm an emotional person. Mm-hmm. And I have the ability to look at things from a logical standpoint, but he only was able to look, that's all he was able to see was the logics.
Right.
And
right.
So when I would react emotionally to something that he said or even just a situation in my own life, he would scream at me, "You never think. All you do is emote." And mm-hmm. he just could not understand it. And it's like, no, it's not that I'm not thinking. It's that I have the ability to do both. And there was something that he just couldn't handle about the fact that I was emotional.
And that is so typical. It's the emotions are very, very squelched in these relationships, and they do. I think it's just the very fact that the narcissist is completely cut off from his emotional nature. And this does not mean, for those of you listening who have experienced or witnessed the narcissist in your life crying or appearing to be emotional, that's a completely different thing, because they do cry and they do appear to be emotional, but they're still very cut off from their emotion.
Well, one thing I noticed, there was one emotion that seem to run through every aspect of this person's life. And this is just one person that I was involved with. I don't know if this is true for all narcissists, but he was really tapped into his ability to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
That was one emotion. And, you know, sometimes for myself, if I get angry, I'll get so angry I cry. So,
right.
I mean, that can happen too. But what was your experience? What were the people that you were involved with able to truly experience even anger, or were they completely cut off from all emotion?
Well, one seemed to be completely cut off from all emotion. The other one very much would experience anger. And I think that that's typical. The anger is typical, and most victims of narcissists find themselves walking on eggshells, afraid to trigger that anger, afraid to trigger that that part of them that's going to lash out.
Definitely. So let's talk about, and I agree when you say the relationship with a narcissist was what was the catalyst for your spiritual journey. I mean, I want to say that I don't blame this person that I was with before. I did for a long time, and I had a lot of anger and resentment. And, you know, if I bump into him around town, it's still, I'm thrown for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true. And this is like over 10 years ago. But I will have to, I do have to say that I learned a lot from my relationship with him. And it's really hard because I think that he wasn't necessarily setting out to hurt me. That was just his personality. He couldn't
mm-hmm.
help it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything that I did. It wasn't that I was a bad person who deserved to be treated badly. It was that was how he lives his life. That's how he gets the energy that he needs from people. And it's not anything personal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not. We do take it very personally, especially when you're replaced very quickly.
Oh, of course.
You know, it's so easy for women and men who are replaced very quickly to say, what was wrong with me? Why is she now getting all the goods? You know, the goods being that we get pulled into that phase of idealation. You know, we're being idolized and adored and put up on that pedestal and treated like queens initially. And we really find ourselves often to be very jealous of our replacement because she's getting the good stuff.
Oh, definitely.
She's getting to be the queen. She's the new queen, and we're, you know, cast aside as the whore, really. It's kind of that good, bad, that light, dark, where when you are no longer useful, you get cast in the shadows as that, you know, as the whore versus the queen.
Mm-hmm.
When you first come into this person's life, you're propped up, you're on this pedestal, you can do no wrong. And so we get to experience both sides of ourselves at the same time. Not that we are that, you know, all of either. We're not the queen and we're not the opposite. You know, we are somewhere in between, but we all have a shadow. We all have those parts of us that we have cast away in the shadow, the parts of us that we feel insecure about, that we feel are unworthy.
Now,
and those are the parts that get really triggered and blown up in our face.
Now it almost
go ahead. Suddenly we just feel unworthy.
Well, it almost sounds like addiction. When an addict first tries a drug, they get that really great high.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chasing, you know, and that lasts for, you know, the first few times that you do it or whatever. And then the addict spends the rest of their time using this drug chasing that high that they originally got. And it's it's almost the same way when you're in a relationship with a narcissist. They put you on a pedestal. They treat you like a god or a goddess, or they just adore you, and they shower you with adoration and compliments, and who wouldn't enjoy that and want that? But then the tables turn and things start happening, and it's always about you. It's always, they always make their anger about something that you did.
Yes, and that's because the narcissist is a master at projection, a master at disowning his own really repressed emotional reality. He's completely out of touch with it. And so he doesn't realize that he's projecting.
Well, and if there's nothing that you've done, the narcissist will instigate something. He'll throw, he or she will throw something awful, say something awful to you. And of course, the normal person would have some kind of reaction to that. And that reaction will be their reason for being angry, their reason why everything in their life is terrible, their reason why you are terrible. And they're not able to see, or at least admit to, the fact that they did anything beyond, anything prior to that reaction.
Well, an example might be if the narcissist says something to his partner that angers her and she reacts out of anger, then the emphasis becomes on what an emotional basket case she is.
Definitely.
How out of control she is. Without any validation to why she's angry, or even having the right to be angry. And so she finds herself continually, or he, having to defend, just having feelings, having reactions to their behavior, to the narcissistic behavior. So it ends up being a very confusing web. And confusion is a really good word to use for this, because almost everyone in the situation just ends up feeling lost and confused, and not knowing where to go, and not knowing what's real, not knowing, is it me? Is it him? What's really going on here?
And when someone is confused, because the thing is that the behavior, I mean, we talk about the narcissist being in their logical mind and not being able to have a lot of true emotions, but their behavior doesn't make sense. It isn't logical from a normal, compassionate person.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, why would someone just out of the blue, you're having a perfectly lovely day, and then someone just say, hey, you look really fat in that outfit, or whatever, you know, like something to push your buttons, whatever it is that pushes your buttons. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. No kind, caring, average person would just throw that out there for absolutely no reason.
Well, and the thing is that narcissists need energy, and it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative. They'll get that energy if they can't get it through adoration. So if you get to that phase of the relationship where the honeymoon's over and you have to actually start having a relationship, meaning actually relating to each other, that does not happen in a narcissistic relationship. And so that phase of you as the partner to the narcissist, you're not going to be so admiring anymore, especially when he's not pulling his weight emotionally. And so then he begins to get his energy through that negativity, through that negative emotion. And that still feeds him. It's still energy. It still feeds him.
I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. We will be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment. We are speaking with Kalia LaRoche. She is the author of Spiritual Recovery from Narcissistic Abuse. You can check out her website, narcissismfree.com. There's also a link to her ebook on my website, spiritualshow.com. If you want to get on the air and ask Kalia a question, the number is 604-822-2255. 604-280-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
One, two!
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie, and we are speaking with Kalia LaRoche. She is the author of Spiritual Recovery from Narcissistic Abuse. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Dr. Joe Dispenza, that was last week's guest. He is going to be in Vancouver tonight and tomorrow. So if you are interested in seeing him, he is going to be at the Unity Church in Vancouver tonight, and the doors open at 6 p.m. His speech starts at 7. Tickets for that, I think, are $40, and you could probably get them at the door, or you can go to bellaspark.com, bellaspark.com. There's a couple-hour lecture tonight at the Unity Church on Oak Street. That is 5840 Oak Street in Vancouver. And also tomorrow, there is a full-day workshop at the Masonic Hall, I believe. It's Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and that's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So check out drjoedispenza.com or bellaspark.com. And if you're interested in learning more about what Dr. Joe Dispenza has to say, and I think it kind of ties into what we're talking about here, because last week Dr. Joe was talking about how when you have the same emotions over and over again, it starts to become, you know, part of who you are, part of your personality. Your brain becomes hardwired. So when you're involved in a really tumultuous, dramatic, upsetting relationship and you're dealing with this trauma ongoing every day, that's one of the things that can be so hard to recover from. So Kalia, when you were leaving these relationships and ready to recover, how did you do that? You said that the psychological aspects weren't really helping you. Going to see a therapist wasn't helping. So what were some of the spiritual things that you were able to do to help yourself move beyond this?
Well, I'm going to talk about just my first relationship because that was the most challenging for me in learning about narcissism. But I really went through a very, very dark night of the soul. And what I ended up doing is really just checking out from society and going into my cave. And at first, it was just a very, very intense depression, which I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't understand what was happening, very dark, very confusing. I talked to different friends. Nobody could understand me. Nobody could understand what was going on. You know, he's not that bad. I was told by my friends that I should just, you know, get over it and move on. They couldn't understand what was going on with me. And so my friends stopped wanting to be around me. It just ended up that I was very, very isolated and focused inward. And that was the gift. I really needed to be there. I really needed to be focused inward. And I spent probably about 3 months there in that place. And what came of that is a lot of soul searching, a lot of really understanding my own nature. And although I had been on a spiritual path since I was a teenager due to having an eating disorder when I was young, I started young on my path, and yet I had never really gone to that depth. I'd really never sunk into the shadows of myself, into my psyche, into those places of myself that I was afraid to go to. The parts of myself I had rejected or cast away into the shadows, which are those little parts that say, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I could never do that, I could never be successful at that. All those little parts that were disapproving of me. The inner child, you know, that was really popular for a long time in psychology and spiritual work, is working with the inner child, and any kind of recovery from addiction, you're working with the inner child. But I never truly understood what it meant until I went through this particular journey of really learning to love that part of myself that I rejected when I was young because it wasn't deemed acceptable. You know, I got messages from the outside world that these parts of me weren't acceptable. They weren't okay. So I buried them. And the beauty that came out of this is I started reconnecting with all these parts I had cast away, that I had rejected within myself. And what the narcissist was doing really was mirroring my own shadow, mirroring those parts of me that I didn't like, that I didn't want to see. And so I had the great opportunity to get in touch with these parts and make friends with them and become much more transparent in the world, where I wasn't so afraid to just be who I was. And the gift that came out of it was being able to truly embrace all of myself, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, the light and the dark, the queen and the whore, you know, all the different aspects, which the gift of that is wholeness. It's being complete within ourselves, to where we don't need that partner to make us whole, where we don't need to find our prince outside of ourselves to complete our story. We complete our story from within.
So, Kalia, if you were face-to-face with this gentleman that you were with the first relationship, what would you say to him now, being in the place where you are healed spiritually?
Well, I have been face-to-face with him. And one thing I've learned is that there's nothing I can really say that would ask him to take responsibility for anything that he did, because I know that he couldn't listen, he couldn't hear me, nor would he take responsibility. That's one thing I learned, is I no longer need to get him to hear me or to understand or to listen. And what I found myself doing is just taking responsibility for myself, which is I told this man that because of my relationship with him, I'm a completely different person. And I thank him for that. And in a sense, I was offering forgiveness, but believe me, it took a long time to get there. It was not an overnight thing for me. But I have truly come to a place of forgiveness with him, understanding that he is who he is. He was the catalyst for my transformation. As much as it hurt, as much hell as I went through, without him and without that relationship, I would not be sitting here having this conversation with you today, and I wouldn't be who I am.
Exactly. It totally takes you down a different path. And as much as it hurts sometimes, you know, they say whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And once you're able to heal from that, it can be a really valuable experience. And I like what you say about his inability to take responsibility, because nobody is. I mean, when I was in my relationship with this person, I mean, I'm not going to say that I was a saint. I reacted to everything that he threw out there. And mm-hmm. I found myself saying things and doing things that I never in a million years would have ever done. And I was a completely different person with him. I was the dark side of myself when
right,
I was with
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
Because he brought it out. I mean, it was not a good scene. But now, you know, now that I've been able to remove myself from that situation and I have been able to accept the whole situation, you know, I feel like I'm a better person because of it. And as much heartache, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, but you know, you've got to play the hand that you're dealt in life. And sometimes these negative experiences, you know, sometimes when someone suffers from an illness, they realize, you know, this was actually a gift. And I kind of try to look at it that way. And one of the things that you will really learn is complete acceptance and complete responsibility for your part in what, you know, the part that you played, because simply out of necessity, because he or she will never be able to take responsibility, will never be able to acknowledge that they made some mistakes, that they were cruel, that whatever part that they played in the relationship, they're just not able to do that. Everything is always projected upon someone else. It is always going to be someone else's fault. And you just kind of have to accept that that's the way their brains are wired.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one mistake that most people make in this situation is trying to change them or fix them. And that is not the answer. That will not work. Your focus has to be on yourself.
Yeah. Or even just trying to make them understand your viewpoint. You can't.
Absolutely.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of being able to understand someone's viewpoint takes the ability to empathize. It takes that ability. And if someone doesn't have the ability of empathy, then it's impossible for them to imagine themselves in your shoes.
Yeah, and that's the key. They cannot walk a mile in your shoes like you can in theirs.
Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have? Let's talk a little bit about what you offer on your website. It's narcissismfree.com, and you have a support forum. What are some of the things that you offer to people through your website?
Well, yeah, I offer a support forum for both men and women, which is free. I also have a paid support forum for women only, which is just $10 a month. And I have several ebooks. I've got Spiritual Recovery from Narcissistic Abuse and Narcissism, The Web of Illusion. And I've got a psychic cord cutting audio program, which has been very valuable for people to cut those energetic psychic cords to the person that they're entangled with. And some other healing audios that I've put together. As well as a whole bunch of different articles that I've written over the years and some resources that I've added. So it ends up being a really great resource for people that are needing to heal from narcissistic abuse. And there's something for everyone in every price point. So if you don't have any money at all, you can use the free articles and support forum, and then, you know, the books and audios and counseling services as well.
Wonderful. And maybe there's someone out there right now who is either involved in a relationship with a narcissist right now, or perhaps is trying to heal unsuccessfully from that relationship right now. What message do you have for him or her?
Well, the message is that it does get better, but you have to do the work. It's really easy to get stuck. And the way out of that dark place is to actually do the work, start researching it, start understanding narcissism, but don't forget that aspect of understanding yourself. And so this is a journey. Remember to embrace it as a journey. Remember that your life will never be the same. That's an important thing to know, is that your life will never be the same, because once this dark side is awakened, you pretty much have to either walk through it or stay stuck in that darkness. So my advice and suggestions are definitely embrace the journey and walk through that darkness, because on the other side there's a light like anything you've ever known.
That's beautiful. And I thank you so much, Kalia, for being on the show today. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap up the show?
Well, I just would like to add that this is a spiritual journey. This is a spiritual process. And, embrace it. Embrace it. I know there's a lot of pain in waking up, but it's worth the work. It really is.
Thank you so much. And if you would like more information about Kalia and her book, narcissismfree.com is where you can find her online, as well as my website, spiritualshow.com. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Have a
great day, everyone.
Thank you. So that was a very interesting discussion about narcissistic personality disorder and how you can heal spiritually from that. And I just want to thank you so much for listening. And I know I've been kind of babbly this hour because it brings up a lot of past memories for me. But I do want to say that if you have been involved with someone such as the type of people that we've been talking about today, it does get better, like Kalia said, and, it is an opportunity for you to grow. Just like anything that happens in your life, you can allow it to be the end of you, or you can allow it to be a new beginning and start you out from a completely new perspective. And one of the gifts I think that narcissists bring to the table is their inability to take responsibility. And as frustrating as that is, and I know it's frustrating, I've experienced it myself, but the gift that gives you is that you have no choice but to take full responsibility for your own life, because they're just not even going to participate in that. So that is, you can really see it as a gift once you're able to get past that point of feeling upset. And I completely understand if you do. But thank you so much for listening today. And if you have any questions about the show, feel free to email me, spiritualshow@gmail.com. And if you are interested in rewiring your brain and changing your emotions, changing your emotional set point, you may be interested in checking out Dr. Joe Dispenza this evening at Unity Church on Oak Street, or tomorrow he's having an all-day workshop. Bella Sparks is the website where you can purchase tickets, and his website is Dr. Joe Dispenza with a Z.com. Thank you so much for listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM. Coming up in just a few minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive, so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to end the show with a song from Tim Steinruck. You can find him at timsteinruck.com. This is his album, God's Chair. The song is Who Will Love You, here on Synchronicity. Have a wonderful weekend. Day. I will be there, throw flowers.
candle flicker in the night. World so peaceful, darkness wraps you tight.